Today we have an opportunity to hear from a couple people who visited us. I heard it was like 8 years ago. And they've been working in Honduras and with a school there, a Sembrador school, and just being used by God in so many different ways. So Gary and Laura Griffin are here, going to share with us today about those possibly those things as well, about the ministry there. And I trust that as they do, that you would also to get a sense of how God will use you in the ministry that they're involved with in Honduras. So Laura and Gary, why don't you come on up and share with us, and Lord bless you as you do.
Muy buenos dias!
Who wants this one?
Yep, thanks. Okay, like, you guys are way too quiet for us. Actually, it was really cool. I can see why y'all are Happy Valley, because y'all are happy. We haven't heard that much chitter-chatter in a long time when people come in. It's great. Hey, before we get started, does everybody have a prayer card? If you don't, please raise your hand, and my assistant, Maddie, is going to help us out. So, and then we'll get started.
So we hail from the great state of Iowa. We're originally from Ohio, moved to Iowa in 2005 to go to Bible college. And when we're not in Iowa, we live in Honduras. And so that's where we would like to share with you today. And we have a little video we're going to show. You guys have been talking about Street of Dreams, and I got to thinking, you know what we're going to show you? We're going to show you our Street of Dreams, Honduran style. And so this is basically kind of like a day in our life in Honduras. The things we see, there's nothing fancy about this. It's just everyday stuff. And so we hope you enjoy the video, and then we'll share more about it after that. So that's kind of a snapshot of a day, just the normal things that we see every day. And we live in a place where it's summer every day. It does rain a lot in the rainy season, but the sun comes out every day, just about every day. So it looks kind of like that. But, you know, life is life. And you still have to get up. You still have to eat breakfast. You still have to go to work. And so that's our Street of Dreams, so to speak. And the Lord called us there, and we love being there because he's called us. So for the last 2.5 years, Laura really has done a little bit different. The first time she taught English in the high school, and this time she did not. She worked in the office. She assisted the Honduran gal that was employed by the mission to manage work teams, teams that come from the States down there to work. We get about 15 a year. It's a lot of work. And she worked and also helped the director off and on some as he needed help. Laura inherited the work team coordinator, I guess is the word. She inherited that job because the Honduran gal quit on Friday, and it was Laura's job on Saturday. And so everybody was kind of scrambling. They had about 3 weeks to figure out what was happening with the first work team, when they were coming and how many there were and where they were going to stay, you know, all the logistics that go with a group. And thankfully, that job did not fall to me. Although I did help some, I did drive the van for the groups, and so that was my kind of partnership in that. Laura also worked, as you saw, with the women on campus doing jewelry making, and it wasn't just, I mean, it was a fun time for the women to get together because they love to make jewelry, they love to wear earrings. I like to say they have a pair of earrings for every pair of flip-flops they have because they have a different pair of flip-flops for every outfit. And so they like to color coordinate. And they just loved doing it. And Laura was able to teach them some business practices, not just so they could do something and enjoy, but do something they can enjoy, plus make a little money. You know, and all that was incorporated, you know, biblically, you know, how to tithe and how that works from a business standpoint, from a Christian business standpoint. As you saw me, I was working in the shop. I had 2 or 3 students every afternoon. They learned, I didn't have a curriculum, they learned to work on whatever I had to fix. And so if that was a weed eater, that was okay, and if that was a bulldozer, that was okay. And that's just what they learned to do. It's kind of an on-the-job training thing. And probably the big highlight for us was we don't have kids, and we acquired a group of 10 seventh graders to have for family group. And needless to say, that was a little daunting to think about at first. And really, those 10 boys, 11 and 12 years old, really blessed. The Lord used them to bless us. They would come to our house every Friday night. We watched a movie. We made popcorn. We did Kool-Aid. And it was funny to see them all excited about what movie we're going to watch. And 15 minutes in, three or four of them be sleeping. I mean, you know, it's been a long week. The school, work, all the stuff they got to do. Friday night, they don't have to do that. They can relax. And so Friday night comes. They relax. And these are little guys. They're 12 years old. They've had a long, hot week. And they're laying on the ceramic tile, no pillow, sound asleep. Amazing. And they just really blessed us with getting to know them. It was a really good way for us to get to know them in a very informal, relaxed setting. We didn't do Bible study. We didn't do study time. It was just family time. And we loved it, and they loved it. And so that was kind of our focus the last time we were there. And through this last 2.5 years, we've seen the Lord open doors, us building relationships with adults in the community. And so we kind of feel the Lord moving us in a little different direction.
Now, I know that some of you have been to Honduras, right? Who is it? Who all have been there? So you'll understand a little bit about what I'm saying here. But since most of you haven't been to Honduras, I would like to explain a few things. Is that all right? Good. Honduras is a beautiful country with beautiful people. That's for sure. But there are problems. And every country has a government. And we all know that there are problems in every national government, right? Whether we see them or not, if you're catching my drift, we know that there are problems. Yes? And those problems tend to start to trickle down. They go from the national level and they trickle down into the state level, correct? So then every state has problems, and we all know that. Oregon's no different than Iowa. We all have problems within our state. Now, when that starts getting down to the nitty-gritty is when the state problems start trickling down into the city problems, creating problems for the citizens in the city, correct? Because that's where y'all live. Same way in Honduras. So, in Honduras, it is not unusual for a family in one neighborhood, or for a whole neighborhood for that matter, to maybe have water one day a week. Maybe once every 2 weeks. Oftentimes when the water comes in, it doesn't come in clear. It comes in the color of the back of the pews there. So it's brown. So you can imagine what happens. The mamas have problems washing diapers. They can't wash baby bottles in brown water. And goodness knows, if you have a white t-shirt and you wash it in brown water, it's going to come out. Bingo. So they have problems, right? They do have access to drinking water. They can buy it in the bottles, and that's what they do anyway. They don't drink tap water ever. Out at the school, we can because we have two good wells. But in cities, they don't drink the water. So then we move over to another essential, and that's electricity. It is not unusual in these cities to have no electricity maybe 4 hours a day. And you don't know when it's going off or when it's going on. Sometimes you have forewarning. It'll go off on Tuesday. But you don't know if it's going to go off at 7 a.m. on Tuesday and if it'll be back on Tuesday night or back on Wednesday night. So if you're preserving your food in your refrigerator, it may or may not last you, right? It creates a problem for the families. Now, it may go off, it may come back on, let's say, on a Friday night, but you can always guarantee, at least in our little town, that on Saturday, the busiest market day of the week, it will go off from 8 a.m. till about 2 p.m. And that's the truth. So it's horrible sometimes. Thankfully, at the school, we have our own hydroelectric plant, so we don't have that problem, but our friends in the cities do. Honduras is a lot like the States, and from the standpoint of there are neighborhoods. Now, y'all have neighborhoods here. You might call it Rolling Rock Acres, or you might call it Green Acres, or you might call it the Street of Dream thingy. But it's a neighborhood, right? It's the same way in Katakamas, the city that we live outside of. There are neighborhoods. And within each neighborhood, both here in the States and in Honduras, there are individual families, yes? And when we're talking families, we're going to be saying mom, dad, and baby. Okay, so the nuclear family. So throughout this talk, or whenever we're speaking, we're talking family, we're talking mom, dad, and little ones. We're not excluding single parents, but this is primarily to talk about mom, dad, and kiddos. So, Honduras has unemployment. Now, what's Oregon's unemployment rate? Iowa's is 3.2, I think, something like that. What is it in Honduras? 40 to 50%. So a lot of times what we see is something that is pretty unique is we see daddies leaving the nuclear family and coming to work in the States. Now, some of them come legally and some of them come illegally, and that's a whole nother ball of wax. But they're leaving their families to come up for work. Then what happens is the money that they're making in the States that is supposed to be sent down to Honduras sometimes makes it, sometimes it doesn't, because what happens when the daddy comes up here? Oftentimes he starts another family. And that's truthful. That's what our kids face. The other thing that people don't realize is in Honduras, it is not unusual for a mama to leave the family to go find work. Now, sometimes she goes to Spain to work as a housekeeper. And we personally know somebody whose mama left when they were little, and she was gone 13 years. There is not a mama in this place here that is going to leave their baby for 13 years to be raised by somebody else. Now, is there? That's Honduras. See, what's happening is they are feeling hopeless and helpless, so they are looking outside Honduras to solve their problems. And you know, Satan is a wily old critter. Jesus says in John 10:10, he says, the thief's purpose is to steal and to kill and destroy. And who is the thief? Satan. Now, it says here, to steal and to kill and destroy. Well, I believe personally, and so does Gary, that he's starting with the families. Now, Honduras is also, for those of you who don't know, it's the murder capital of the world. It may have gone down to number two now, but it was number one. They just had a big thing in the paper that said, the Honduran paper, they were excited because the murder rate dropped in the first quarter of 2017 from 2016. It dropped 22%. That's terrific. But there's 8.5 million people in Honduras, and Honduras is about the size of Ohio. So it went from 2,500 murders in the first quarter of 2016 to 2,000 murders in 2017. Now, folks, how many people are in Oregon? I'm assuming more than 8 million. 4 million. Okay, so 4 million, so we'll divide that half. If y'all had 1,000 murders with 4 million people, y'all would have a cow. You'd be doing something, right? You'd be looking at what the world is going on, and some people would just be downright helpless and hopeless. And that's how our people feel. They don't see a way out. But the cool thing is Jesus, he gives hope. He says in the last part of that verse, he says, my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. And that's super cool because he's not talking about a Lexus and a Rolex. He is talking about having a rich and satisfying life with whatever the people have. Whether you're rich or whether you're poor, he's talking about a rich and satisfying life here. Conquering the crud that Satan tries to put into our lives. That's true, yes? Now, y'all are supposed to get excited and say, amen! Amen. Excellent. I like that. So, The next thing I want to tell you is going to rock your world. And it's going to tie in where God is leading Gary and myself. If I came to you and I said, if a child in a non-Christian family, mom, dad, and kid, comes to Jesus, what's the probability that mom and dad will follow? What do you guys think that is? Extremely low? You're right. It's 7%. Okay? A lot of people think if you win the baby, you're going to win mommy and daddy. Uh-uh. And we'll tell you why in a second. We love kids programs, by the way. We love VBS. We love Sunday school. We advocate for the children's program. So this is not knocking down anything. But what we're going to tell you is going to make a ton of sense. If you win a mama to Jesus, I'm a big women's group girl. I work with women. But if you win a mommy to Jesus and the rest of the family doesn't know him, what's the probability that the rest of the family will come? What do you think? Give me a number, somebody. 60 and 10, 14. Okay? Now, let's take the daddy. You've got mom, dad, and baby who do not know Jesus, and the daddy comes to Jesus. What's the probability that the rest of the family is going to follow? Who said 90? Bing, 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 bing. You get the prize. It's 90%, folks. And if you think about it, it makes sense. Who did God make to be the authority in the family? It was the daddy, yes? The dad is to be the head of the household. He is supposed to love the mama, and then two of them together are supposed to love the baby. Babies were not intended to be tools of evangelism. Mm-mm-mm-mm. They're supposed to be loved and cared and disciplined and brought up in the way they should go. Not direct people in the way they should go. Right? Now, this is important for Gary and myself. And I know we don't have children. But I can tell you this. I became a Christian before Gary did. It was 14 years prior to him. I wasn't the one who drew him to Jesus. It was men. Now, we had two men in our home church in Shiloh, Ohio, who actually took a shining to Gary. Y'all know what that means? Okay. They loved him the way that men should love men. They came alongside him and had lunch with him every Friday afternoon. And you know what they talked about? Guy stuff. They asked him questions like, how's work going? What do you like to do, Gary? How's your wife? How's your marriage? What are the things you're struggling with this week? Nobody likes to ask those questions. But two men in our home church had the guts to do it. Finally, one of them said, and they never mentioned Jesus, but finally one of them said, man, you will always be my friend, and I will always love you. But if you knew Jesus, it would be so much better. Just a few weeks later, guess who came to Jesus? This guy right here. God changed his heart here. And I will tell you, our family changed dramatically because these guys, especially the one, started to mentor and disciple him in the way that he needs to go. Discipled him how to be a Christian man. He didn't know. He didn't know how to read his Bible and to pray and to do all those things. He didn't know how to love me in the way that God intended him to love me. Now, he did the best he could, and he did love me before he became a Christian. We had a good marriage. But I will tell you this. He became a Christian, and I saw this guy that you all see here. He's not the guy I married. He's a whole lot better. Because God changed his heart, and he used two men to do it. And if we had little ones, my hope is that they would see how much daddy loves mommy and how the two of them love baby. So if I hadn't been a Christian and he had come first and he had started loving me the way he loves me now, I'd have wanted whoever it was that changed that man's heart. And hopefully those babies would have then too. Does that make sense? Because there's something inside of us that is yearning to be loved in the way that God wants us to be loved. And folks, if we can reach out to families, and this is where God is leading us. He's leading us, Gary and myself, to stay at El Sembrador, where we board young men, where we have farm workers who aren't Christian, where we have administrators who are young Christians. He's calling us to a place where we can mentor and disciple adults and even some younger guys to grow up to be adult fellas, to love Jesus. Gary's going to work on the farm side of the school, working with farm hands directly. I'm going to continue with the ladies groups and doing, I'll be his first lady and his only one. But together we're going to reach families one at a time. Can you catch this vision? And Honduras can go from this place of the number one murder capital of the world to the bottom of the list. But only through Jesus. Families can have hope, but only through Jesus. Gary's a mechanic. He'll be able to come alongside guys, whether it's at the school or in Catacamas, because now in our city we have a lot of contacts with a lot of people. Come alongside them, help them start businesses of their own, mentor them and disciple them. So our work will not just be at the school, it's going to be in the city as well. I'll be able to work alongside gals, because I'm going to tell you this, men should never mentor and disciple girlies. Never, never. We have this thing in Honduras. Women should never mentor and disciple men. Or women should never mentor and disciple men. Men should never do it to women. Make sense? Because when you mix the two, you're playing with fire. So avoid it like the plague. You all can do the same thing right here in the Portland, Oregon, Happy Valley area. You can do this. If we mentor and disciple one family one year, the two of us, our family and that family, the next year will be four. Then the four goes to eight, eight goes to 16, 16, 32, and you see how it goes. Pretty soon it's the neighborhood that changes, and then the city, and then the state, and then what? The country. Folks, there is hope for the U.S. There is hope for Honduras, but that hope is only in Jesus Christ.
And so as we get ready to go back, and I think of, I want you to think about this, that a Portlander, 15 years younger than me, discipled me in Ohio. His name was Milo, for those of you that know him. And we're still good friends, and he's now in, he's further away from Portland than we are now. He's clear on the East Coast. And just the example that he was, that I saw before me, on what my responsibility is as a Christian, to disciple the men around me. And so that's very, very important to me, for the way we view ministry and the way God is moving us in ministry. Everybody got a prayer card, and so I want to talk about that just real quick. On the front is all your contact information. If you want to be in contact with us and get our email updates, our prayer requests, our praises, if you want to send us prayer requests, we encourage that a bunch. You might have to put on there that you're what church you're from so we can remember. But, you know, if you have prayer requests and whatever, send it to us. Fill that out. Put the card in the plate when it comes around after we get done, and we'll make sure we get that. And we'll get you put on there. And if you're going to pray for us, please check that you're going to pray. Because some days, you need to be able to pick one of these up. Well, actually, we're not picking this up, but we're going through our database on our computer going, yeah, that's right. Today's not that bad. Somebody's still praying for us. And believe me, that's really encouraging to get that one little email every once in a while that says, hey, hope everything's okay. Just wanted you to know I'm praying for you. That's really encouraging. And so we just want to encourage you to do that for us, please, if the Lord's leading you to do that. Also, you can be a partner by investing financially. We, praise the Lord, we came back from the field at 70%. We have gained 5% since December. So it's been a little slow, but the Lord's providing it, and we know it's in His time. So if the Lord's leading you, we still need individuals to come on board and give on a monthly basis. Now, whether you want to pay it monthly or annually or whatever you want to do, that's up to you. But, you know, we just ask you to consider doing that and be a partner in the ministry with that way. And on the back, actually, there's an electronic fund transfer thing you can fill out. Some people don't like writing checks. I'm just going to tell you the truth. For us, electronic fund transfer has been a godsend when you're trying to pay bills from Honduras and you're trying to call a bank, and it's just been great. And so if you prefer to do it that way, you can do it that way. You can fill that out, and we can send it in. You can send it in. If you're not comfortable filling this out and sending it in, you can call the mission directly, and they will walk you through it and make it really painless. And the other thing we would like for you to do, to consider, is to coming down and visiting us on a work team for a week or two. And I guarantee you we will find something for you to do. You do not have to speak Spanish to work. You can work without talking. And so please come. And, you know, one thing we like to encourage people is, you know, some people say, I don't know what I can do. I can't do much. I can only do this. That's fine. It doesn't make any difference. Or some people say, oh, I can't talk to anybody when I get there. And here's the amazing thing. We see work teams come. And these guys, people, do not speak a single word of Spanish. And the boys typically will not speak English, even if they know a little bit. And yet, when the work team leaves, both of them are crying. Because the Lord has connected them in His way. And that boy, student, young man knows that guy right there from the United States, he's probably never going to see again, cares about him. And only the Lord can make those connections. And so it's just a great faith-building experience to be able to come. And so we just want to encourage you to do that, whether you come for work, whether you come just to have fun and build relationships, that's fine. But please come and visit us. We'd love to have you come and visit us. And if you ride with me, I will help you learn how to pray faster and better. And your faith hopefully will grow because I'm driving you. And so we encourage you to come. And we thank you guys very much for allowing us to come this morning. And we would just like to close our time that you've given us with prayer for you guys as you continue to be here in Happy Valley and deal with all the stuff that goes on in your lives here. So, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your presence here this morning. Lord, we are all thankful for the call that you placed on all of us, whether that's to live in Happy Valley, Oregon, and reach the people here, whether it's to go to Honduras. Lord, you may be calling somebody here, maybe not to go to Honduras, but to go to some other mission field, foreign. And so, Lord, we know you are faithful to continue to draw. Lord, we pray that their faith would grow. If that's the case, whether they're being called to the pastorate or to the mission field, we just pray that they would step out and take that step and trust you. And Lord, that can be a scary thing for us, but you are always faithful to guide and direct and be there with us. You don't leave us. We pray for this group as they continue to be here in this church and in this community and in this state of Oregon. And Lord, I'm sure that some of them that have been here look at their state and wonder what in the world is going on. Lord, it's the same all across the United States. We see it all over, and we wonder what is going on. But Lord, you are still in control. And the truth is, you have called us to be the change makers, to be the countercultural people, in spite of all that's happening. And so, Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness to us, and may you find us being faithful to you and to the call you placed in our lives as Christians. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
you guys for sharing and letting us know about the ministry in Honduras. Three things we can take away from this, I'm sure. One is, if you haven't caught it, guys, men's ministry, something pretty important. Be able to reach families. And when you have when God has the heart of the man, heart of the husband, heart of the father, man, that family is going to just be guided in incredible ways. So hopefully that kind of gives a little emphasis for men's ministry. And Zach, I look at you as you and Brandon give leadership to that. I think there are plenty of opportunities for that to go on. And it doesn't have to be Zach and Brandon telling you to do it. You go on your own. Find a guy. Do some Bible memorization or just keep each other accountable or whatever it might be. And that will enhance the men's ministry, which will enhance our families, which will enhance our church, which then will spread out all over the place. The other thing about this, too, that we can take away from this time together is that if you've never supported a missionary before, it doesn't take much. Every little thing helps. And if you've never supported a missionary before, you don't know the joy and the inspiration that you can gather from that. Knowing that as you support them in prayer and support them financially, you're helping them in what they need to be doing in Honduras or whatever the field that missionary has been called to, and especially prayer. But it doesn't take much, and you don't have to, I'm not old enough, or I don't have a job, or God will bless you in many more ways. And not saying that if you give all this money, God's going to bless you with money. God's going to bless you in so many other different ways of being a support to a missionary. And because those people, they are special people doing God's work, typically in a place that is very foreign at times, but becomes home after a while. And so we need to be supporting them. So if you never support a missionary before, I encourage you to support the Griffins in this. Also, too, one last thing is that, and it's been mentioned before, that if you've never gone on a short-term missions trip, you need to try it. And maybe this is something Mike Grimm, chairman of the missions committee, might want to talk about the missions committee about that, maybe to emphasize, maybe putting together a work team going somewhere, and whether it's Honduras or something like that, maybe it's a men's group going somewhere and helping out something like that. But something to consider, I believe, to be used by God. Maybe Annalie can tell us where to go in Honduras, whatever, I don't know. She's been there a number of times. Reed as well has been there a number of times. But to go there, and I know what happens. Your pastor goes on a trip to Brazil, and he never comes back as your pastor. So I guess I'm not going on any of these trips at all, but I wouldn't mind going on these trips as well, too, to be a support to the missionaries. But I encourage the missions committee and maybe just men's group, whatever, just thinking about the possibilities, potential of being used by God in a short-term missions trip. We've seen the youth group go on many of those, and they've been changed in so many ways by these trips. So those things I thought of, and I hope you also, too, have thought of others as well, too, to be able to be used by God to help the Griffins get back into the ministry there. And as the worship team comes up to lead us in some more music, I just want to pray for the Griffins, and just thank the Lord for them. And then Mark will take it from there. Lord Jesus, thank you for today. Thank you for this opportunity to hear from your servants, Gary and Laura. And I pray, Lord, that you would just continue to use them in a mighty way there in Honduras. Lord, as they enter into this ministry of more of a family ministry there at the school, Lord, I pray that you'd give them wonderful opportunities to minister to the men and to continue to show love to groups like the Ted Junior High boys coming on over and having a great time, the family time. Lord, I pray that you give them more wonderful times like that. But until then, Lord, as they go around to different churches and try to gain support financially and prayer support, Lord, we pray that you would raise up those people from those churches to support them financially, to get back to the field, and Lord, also to support them prayerfully. And Lord, we thank you that you've used Laura and Gary in so many different ways there in Honduras. We pray, Lord, that you'd also use them in special ways at the different churches that they'll visit as well. Keep them safe as they travel. And Lord, we just thank you for the blessing they've been to us here today. And pray, Lord, that you'd go with them and continue to make them a blessing to those they meet along the way. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.